Hi, it's Dave. Today, Tesla reported a GAAP profit of $104 million in their quarterly earnings. Now, this surprise profit now makes Tesla eligible to join the S&P 500, which I think will occur within the next few weeks. In this video, I'm going to break down exactly how Tesla was able to pull off this surprise profit. All right, if you've watched my last video where I said that Tesla could pull out a GAAP profit, I actually estimated Tesla could pull out a GAAP profit of $100 million. So I was extremely lucky to be almost right on. And I want to go through exactly how Tesla pulled off this amazing feat, because it was in the midst of a global pandemic. Their Fremont factory was shut down for almost half the time, yet Tesla managed to pull out a GAAP profit. All right, let's first look at Tesla stock price. Here you have the six-month chart, and if you look at the past 6 months, it was between $500 and $1,000 for most of the past 6 months, and then it started to break out. And you see Tesla around the 1500 mark. I think it closed today at 1590 before the earnings. Now, this is a five-year chart, and I think it's good to take a bigger step back, and you have Tesla kind of in this range. It was between $200 and $400 for about 5 years or so, and then you had this breakout, and then you have Tesla at about $1,500. In after hours today, Tesla, as I record this video, it's at $1,670. So it's about a 5% increase in stock price in the after hour market. We're going to see what Tesla does over the next few days. But I think a lot of funds that are indexed to the S&P 500 will start to need to buy Tesla shares. And you've got probably approximately about 26 million shares that need to be bought by funds that are indexed by the S&P 500. All right, now I want to look at these four key numbers to analyze and explain how Tesla pulled off this GAAP profit. First is, let's look at revenue, because in order to calculate a net profit, we need to take the gross profit minus operating expenses and minus interest expense. That will equal our profit. But in order to get gross profit, we first need revenue. Let's look at this first number first. All right, revenue and gross profit. We look at Tesla's financial summary. You'll see that total revenue came out to be about $6 billion. And that's exactly what I projected actually in my last video. And the gross margin they're saying is 21%, which is very strong. But the key number in this revenue figure right now is the regulatory credits. Last quarter, they sold about between 300 and 350 million regulatory credits. But this quarter, they sold $428 million. Dollars in regulatory credits. I believe a lot of this was with the Fiat Group, a multi-year agreement they have, but also they had some deferred regulatory credits. I think about $140 million that they had saved up. They could have pulled from that stash as well. So anyways, you have strong revenue of $6 billion, and you have gross profit at $1.267 billion, right? So this is amazing. So we're gonna take this number, and then we're going to minus operating expenses and other expenses. All right, so let's look at operating expenses. So operating expenses came out to be at $940 million. Now, last quarter in Q1, they had operating expenses about $950 million. So it was about equal, but it was offset in some ways because Tesla cut salaries, they furloughed workers, and they were able to keep operating expenses relatively the same. They probably incurred a lot of other expenses because of the shutdown. All right, and then number three is, let's take a look at their other expenses. Tesla had other interest expense, which is about $170 million, and other miscellaneous expenses, about $15 million. So here's the summary of Tesla's overall quarterly statement. It has $6.04 billion in quarterly revenue. At a 21% gross margin, that left them with $1.27 billion in gross profit. Now that you take this number and you minus the operating expenses, which is $940 million, and you minus $177 million in interest and other expenses, you're left with $104 million in GAAP profit. So what really shifted the tide was that $420 million in regulatory credits. And what's exciting was, in my last video, I shared the exact statement from the quarterly statement saying that they expect actually these regulatory credits to be consistent and to grow over time. And this was from last quarter. And so that's good news for Tesla. All right, so summary, how exactly did Tesla pull off this amazing GAAP profit in the midst of a global pandemic? First off, it was strong deliveries. They delivered close to 91,000 vehicles, right, in this quarter, and they basically delivered almost everything they could and everything they had on hand. That led to strong revenues and gross margin. Number two is strong regulatory credit sales, $428 million, as I shared before. And lastly, they kept tight expense control. Now, I want to give a shout out to the current CFO, Zach Kirkhorn. He's been great at keeping Tesla's expenses down and really exercising some fiscal discipline in the company. And I think he's a big reason, and one of the big reasons why Tesla has reported 4 straight quarters of profit. And I want to give a shout out to every Tesla employee who's been working their butt off to really push through deliveries to make innovation happen and to get this company rolling. Every Tesla employee should be congratulated. All right, the implications of having this quarterly profit is that Tesla now fulfills the requirements to join the S&P 500. The only thing that's left now is for the S&P 500 committee to get together and officially approve Tesla. And to me, it's a no-brainer. There's virtually no chance that the S&P 500 leaves off Tesla in the index because they're a big cap company. It's well known. They'd love to invite Tesla on. Now, the only question is, because Tesla now is a $300 billion plus market cap company, and the index weight is going to be close to like 1% of the index, there's going to be a need for these index funds to buy approximately 26 million shares of Tesla out of a float of about maybe 147 million shares that are out there, excluding Elon's shares. So in order to do that, the S&P 500 committee might ask Tesla actually to do a capital raise to release more shares and sell them in the open market to improve liquidity. If that happens, it's probably going to happen, I think, in the next couple of weeks. I'll probably do another video on what that means exactly and the implications for Tesla shareholders. Number three implication is Q3 and Q4, it looks great because Tesla is now past the pandemic. Their factory is up and running. Demand is great and everything is looking great for increased revenue and increased profits. Now, there is some risk if coronavirus, especially in the Bay Area, increases and Alameda County gets all, you know, serious and shuts down their factory. There could be another kind of stalemate or confrontation with Tesla, but we'll see. All right, number four. Implication is, I think this is an end of an era, but yet a beginning of another era. And what I mean is, from, you know, the early days of Tesla till, you know, most recently, the story of Tesla has been a burgeoning car company, a startup that's, you know, doesn't make money, but yet is, you know, has this great product. And there's been a lot of FUD and a lot of short selling, a lot of just people saying that Tesla is a scam and all sorts of stuff. But I think that era is finally coming to end as Tesla shifts from being kind of this burgeoning startup that needed a lot of capital, outside capital, and it shifts to a company that now generates its own capital through its demand and through its products. And I call it kind of the cash cow stage, where now Tesla has shifted and they can generate their own capital. They can generate their own capital to invest into new factories, to invest into new programs. They're no longer required to go to the capital markets. And in this new phase, I think it's a new phase of general acceptance where investors look at Tesla and it's accepted that Tesla is a disruptor. And it's one of the great disruptors of the 2020s. And I think because of that, I call Tesla a generational company. It's one of those few and rare companies that come along that disrupt entire product categories and infiltrate culture so deeply that everyone knows about that product. And that product really infiltrates into people's personal lives and lifestyles. And it's an amazing kind of future that Tesla has. And nothing is guaranteed 100%, but yet the trends and probabilities are very likely. All right, if you are interested in videos like this, please subscribe to keep updated and follow me on Twitter. I'm at HeyDave7, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.